And you're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 100.5 FM.
On September 3rd, Sun Myung Moon died at the age of 92. Moon was the founder of the Unification Church and presented himself as a new Messiah. In the 1970s, the Unification Church was notorious for luring young people into its ranks using brainwashing techniques. It's also known for holding mass weddings of cult members. Steve Hassan was recruited into the Moonies at the age of 19. He rose to the position of assistant director of the Unification Church at its national headquarters before being persuaded to leave with the help of his parents. Since then, Steve Hassan has been working to expose the mechanisms of mind control. He has over 30 years' experience counseling active and former cult members and is the author of 3 books, including most recently Freedom of Mind. Steve Hassan joins me this morning from Boston. Hello, Steve.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. So first of all, give us a little bit of background on Sun Myung Moon. Who was he?
He was a multi-billionaire who is an ex-felon. He had vast holdings in a wide array of businesses. I have actually a front group list of 67 pages, single-spaced, of different entities associated with his empire on my website, freedomofmind.com. He claimed to be the sinless Messiah, greater than Jesus Christ or anyone in human history. He did so many different things, including owned and operated the Washington Times for the past 25 years at a loss of over $2 billion. And as you mentioned in the intro, he was very famous for doing these mass weddings where he would tell people to marry each other. He'd say, you and you, and you would have 5 minutes to decide if you wanted to do what God wanted you to do. Of course, most people in the cult did that, did accept the match. And unfortunately, so many people have been hurt by this organization, and right now his children are fighting amongst themselves regarding the empire, very interestingly.
I remember hearing about the Moonies in the 1970s, but I haven't heard anything about them for years. Are they still active?
Yes, the Moonies have been very active. In the past 10 years or so, I'd say, because of their prominence in the media industry, there's been very little reported about them, especially in a negative light. And even the obituaries that were written about him around the world, I feel, were leaving out the whole issue that he was a liar, that he was a rapist, that he was involved with criminal activities, and that, in fact, his organization did use brainwashing techniques to recruit and indoctrinate people.
Let's talk a little bit about the kind of techniques that groups like the Moonies use to get people to join. What are some of the things that they do?
So, first and foremost, and I should point out that my work helping people get out of different cults involves cults that aren't just religious cults. It could be a political cult or a therapy cult or a business cult or a cult of personality. So, the number one thing that all of these destructive groups do is use deceptive recruitment. In other words, they don't tell people honestly who they are, what they believe, and what they want from them when members are out. When I was recruited, my girlfriend had just dumped me, and 3 women pretending to be students at my college approached me, and they lied to me, and I said, are you part of some religious group? Oh, no, not at all, when in fact they were bowing to an altar with Moon's picture on it. And the techniques they use include things like love bombing, where they make the prospective recruit feel very loved and special, where they try to get the person to share all their information, and then use that information to manipulate them and to inveigle them further. So, for example, we were taught to categorize people as thinkers, feelers, doers, or believers. And based on that model, if someone was a feeler, then there would be a very emotional appeal that would be primarily used. If someone was a thinker, a much more intellectual approach, including names of scientists and other prominent intellectuals who were involved with the organization. But then when going further, I have what is referred to as the BITE model of mind control. Control of B is the control of behavior, and then the I is control of information, the T is control of thoughts, and the E is control of emotions. And so, and again, this is on my website, freedomofmind.com. You can go through the list of different mind control techniques that are used to brainwash people, such as sleep deprivation, privacy manipulation, rewards and punishments, making people completely dependent, using spies to take information and then use it to create mystical experiences on people, confession, teaching thought-stopping techniques. So when I was in the cult, I was trained to think that every doubt or question about Moon and the organization or his book called The Divine Principle, if I had a doubt, it was an evil spirit invading me, and I was taught to chant, crush Satan, glory to heaven, peace on earth, true parents, true parents. Of course, Moon and his wife were revered as the perfect, sinless parents of humankind, so I believed. And then the universal mind control technique is what I call phobia indoctrination, which is the implantation of irrational fears that if you ever question the group or try to leave the group, terrible things are going to happen to you. You'll be possessed by Satan, you'll die of cancer, you'll be hit by a car. In other words, someone's under mind control cannot imagine being out of the group and happy and fulfilled. They can only generate negative scenarios in their mind.
What are the individual repercussions in people's lives if they get inducted into a cult and then become a cult member?
So I became a licensed mental health counselor back in the mid-80s and have been studying extensively psychological and emotional issues. I can say that the first and foremost problem is a dissociative disorder, because what happens when people are inducted in a group like this is that their identity is systematically attacked and broken down, and a new cult identity is given that is in the image of the cult leader. So in my case, I was Steve Hassan, son of Milton and Estelle Hassan of Flushing, Queens, New York, who liked to write poetry and play basketball and didn't believe in joining a group, was Jewish. And then I got into the group. I went to the 3-day workshop, and the cult also had 7-day workshops, 21-day workshops, 40-day workshops, etc. And this new identity is created where Sun Myung Moon and Hak Ja Han were the true parents, and where I was asked to throw away my poetry and that told that basketball playing was a ridiculous waste of time. And where I, you know, my new cult identity was as a saint that needed to save the planet Earth. I also, you know, basically came to believe that we needed to all speak Korean, that democracy was satanic, that we needed a theocracy following Moon and his children to run the world. And so this cult identity suppressed my real identity. And at the point that I was rescued out of the cult after a near-fatal van crash, my real self reemerged, but then I had this complete cult identity that had been put inside my head that needed to be basically made conscious and then sorted through and processed and integrated back into me. It took me a year before I could kiss a woman without thinking of the lectures in my head. It took me It took me months to get my mental concentration back. I literally was reading 2 to 3 books a week as a English major before I met the Moonies, and when I came out of the group, I couldn't even read a page without spacing out. So it took a lot of intensive work to get my mind functioning again. My memories had been distorted. I actually believed when I was in the Moonies that I had a terrible childhood and that my father was very abusive to me. And after I came out and realized Moon was a liar and that I had been brainwashed, I needed my sisters and my neighbors and my friends to show me pictures, tell me stories, and basically to say, Steve, you are happy. We were, you know, it was a good life. And your father never was physically abusive, and he slapped your face once when he lost his temper, but he was by no means an abusive man.
On your website, you distinguish between a destructive cult and a cult. What differences do you make there?
Right, so the term cult can be used to describe anything where there's an excessive interest or devotion to something. So one can be a Boston Celtics, you know, in the cult of the Boston Celtics, or love some actor or actress or musical group. Or I was actually quoted in a book called The Cult of Mac because I use Mac, you know, Apple products and such. So the point is that as long as there's informed consent, there's free will, and people can make independent judgments, it's okay to be, you know, intensely into a thing or a belief system or a political party or whatever. Destructive mind control cults are the ones that use the bite model to essentially create this new cult identity. And there's this complete obedience and dependency that is created, and that's what I consider to be a destructive cult.
What can you do if you suspect that a family member or a friend has joined a destructive cult?
So I guess I'd want to say that no one that I've ever met in 36 years ever intentionally joins a destructive cult. They may fall in love with a cult recruiter, or they may be involved with a self-help group or wanting to make the world a better place. So, I mean, the number one thing that exists now that didn't exist even 20 years ago is the Internet. And so people need to do their due diligence to do independent research on a group before they ever go to any program and such, and not just listen to what the recruiter says about it. Likewise, if a family member or friend suspects a child or a sibling or a wife or a husband is getting involved with the destructive cult, the last thing you should do is say, are you in a cult? And the first thing you should do is get on the Internet and start researching it. And secondarily, it's a really healthy thing to do is talk with a person that you care about and say, you seem to be getting into this thing, tell me more. And if it's so great, you know, recruit me. And not that you want to allow anyone to recruit you, but to try to open up the doors as opposed to labeling it a cult, in which case the person will stop talking with you. Secondarily, you know, network and find out if you can find former members, if you can find out details about the organization, and especially former members who can advise you. And of course, that's what I do for a living. Is people do consultations with me all the time about suspected involvements. Sometimes it turns out to be a benign cult or a benign group. And sometimes it's a group I've never heard of that's quite nasty.
What's going to happen to the Unification Church now that Sungmyeon Moon is gone?
Good question. So what's really, really interesting to me is that one of his sons has sued his mother and brothers and is now in control of 60% of the wealth of the organization. And when he went to Korea to pay respects to his father, they refused to allow him near the body, which I'm told in Korean culture is an absolute no-no. So that's really interesting. Also, Injin Moon, the woman who is in charge of kind of the Unification Church in America, has recently resigned because it was found out that she basically had a child out of wedlock and divorced her husband, her so-called blessed husband, and married another member. And this other man says he doesn't believe in Moon at all. And so that's absolutely fascinating. So it remains to be seen, but I would say that it's not looking good for the organization's continuation. I suspect there'll still be, you know, a few thousand people who are going to believe no matter what anybody says or does, even... And this was a question I would ask sometime in one of my interventions. What would you do if Moon got up on a stage and said, you know what, I'm now taking Prozac. I realize I'm not the Messiah. Go home. Would you believe him? And, of course, you know, a Moonie would say, oh, you would never say that. But I'd say, what if he did it? Then what? Just as a method to try to prod someone to start questioning. It remains to be seen what happens with followers, but I'm very, very concerned about those that have been brainwashed and have built their entire life and their entire identity, some people who were born into the group, what they're going to do next.
Well, thank you very much for speaking to me this morning, Steve. It's been fascinating.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Steve Hassan. His most recent book is Freedom of Mind, Helping Loved Ones Leave Controlling People, Cults, and Beliefs.